Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Livia Martinez, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Emily Martinez. And today, we are not talking about a chick flick or a girl power movie. We are talking about the 1991 horror classic, Silence of the Lambs. Mom, would you say this is kind of the opposite of a chick flick?
Yes, it's about as far as you can get from a rom-com.
Yeah, I mean, let's compare the last podcast we did together. You know, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, Sleepless in Seattle, they're falling in love, cute kid involved. And then this one, we have Sir Anthony Hopkins eating people and Jodie Foster investigating that and investigating a man who's cutting people's skins off. So, you know, very similar. Love it.
It's a very dark film.
Very.
Yes. Both in the theme and actually in the filming, too.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the whole atmosphere was dark.
It was wild how they did that. Now, you're probably wondering why our other co-host, Oscar Martinez, is not here. And we have a very interesting reason. This man does not like serial killers.
Well, that's actually probably a good thing.
Yeah, okay, I phrased that wrong. He does not like serial killer films. He thinks they're too spooky and weird, probably because they're so realistic, and he thinks they're overdone. But Mom and I decided to watch this movie because, first of all, it's one of three movies to ever win all five big categories at the Oscars. And also, it's just a horror classic, and it's more than just another serial killer, you know what I mean?
It really is a psychological thriller.
Definitely. I can't imagine how many people were inspired to go into the FBI after this movie.
Exactly, and women too, yeah, because it features a female agent, which is kind of unusual, especially for, what year was this made?
1991.
So that's probably kind of unusual to have Jodie Foster cast as the main character.
Yeah, and okay, I'm already going into the weird facts I have. And one of them is that the FBI actually approved of this movie because they thought it would help with female recruitment because they saw it as a female empowering movie. Isn't that interesting?
That is. I'd never heard that before. It's funny.
It makes sense because she looks great in this movie. Everyone else looks kind of stupid, but
it's kind of ironic when you think about the fact that they thought it would help recruit agents. Okay, I mean, because just think about it. Women out there are watching the movie and thinking, oh, I want to go interview a serial killer who's also a cannibal. I want that job.
Let's go to college and become an FBI agent. Yeah, that is very weird now that you think about it like that. So the director of this film is Jonathan Demme, and I really haven't heard of him too much, but he's made Philadelphia, which is a really famous Tom Hanks movie, Melvin and Howard, and the remake of The Manchurian Candidate, which... The first Manchurian Candidate is insane. We watched it a few months ago, and I loved that movie.
It is a great movie.
What else has he made, Mom?
I believe he made Caged Heat, which is a movie I've never seen, but I think it's known as one of the great campy movies of all time. It sounds, just kind of looking at the list of films he's associated with, he has a real mix of dramas and comedies and action movies. But also, I'm a Neil Young fan, so he made at least a couple of films with Neil Young, which
is interesting. Yeah, it seems like he's made three movies with Neil Young, which is a lot. Have you seen any of them, Mama?
I think I've seen a couple of them.
Okay, cool. So even though Jonathan Demme is a respected and fairly well-known director, he's not as well-known as the cast he got for this film. Jodie Foster and Sir Anthony Hopkins in this movie are absolutely insane, and they are two of the most famous people in Hollywood. And Mama, we're only calling him Sir Anthony Hopkins to be respectful. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Well, and funny enough, I think that Hopkins was probably...
Sir.
Not, I'm sorry. Sir Anthony Hopkins was probably not that well known to movie audiences until this role.
Really?
I mean, he'd been in quite a few movies before, but I think this was what made him a really kind of a household name.
Because he was like a Shakespeare guy.
Yeah, he's more of a theater guy and a Shakespearean, real serious actor. And this really kind of gave him a chance to go to town with this wild and crazy and psychotic character.
And did you know who he was before this?
I'd heard of him just because I had seen him in a couple of movies.
Okay.
Or a few movies.
But just not the
but
normal
yeah, it wouldn't be
American
just
people.
The he wouldn't be the type of person to be in the traditional horror movie. And actually it brings up a good point. I think this is much more of a, as I said before, a psychological thriller.
Definitely.
This is not the kind of movie that you equate with great acting. I think that the fact that it's such a good script and it's so well directed, the entertaining part of the movie is not the gore and the blood and guts and the screams. It's the thinking and the interaction between the characters.
Definitely.
And the story of how somebody becomes crazy and how somebody's mind works. And so that's, I think, probably why it attracted somebody like Anthony Hopkins. But again, then there are many other really good actors who have signed up for similar roles in the
future.
But
they haven't been as good, I don't think.
No, I think he was in a class by himself. Hannibal Lecter.
He is so creepy. That first opening scene. Okay, we're going to have spoilers in this podcast, because if you haven't seen this film yet, go watch it. It's on Netflix right now. It's 29 years old, so hopefully you've seen it. But the very first scene that Jodie Foster is introduced to Anthony, Sir Anthony, I'm sorry, sir, my king. The first time she's introduced to him, ugh. Remember, he's just standing there like, hello, Clarice. It's like, ugh, get away from me, freako. And it just makes me very uncomfortable, but his acting is just stellar. And also, did you know, another fact, he never says, hello, Clarice. Isn't that like the famous line?
Yeah.
It's one of those myths. What's the word?
I thought he did when she first walked into the prison.
No, he says something like, good evening, Clarice, or something.
Oh, that's
funny. Isn't that weird how those things get lost in translation?
Yes. But, of course, there are a couple of other very famous lines from this movie.
And, Mama, you should read those off. But keep in mind, remember, Hannibal Lecter is a cannibal serial killer. So, Mom?
He's known as Hannibal the Cannibal.
Hannibal the Cannibal. All right, Mom, why don't you recite some of those creepy lines?
So I think a couple of the lines that just about everybody out there has heard, one of them is, a census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Which makes you shiver.
The actual worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
And then the very last line, again, this is the ultimate spoiler, but the very last line of the film, I think, if not the last, it's Hannibal Lecter.
No, it is the last.
Okay. He says he is, he's talking to Clarice on the phone, and what is it that he says exactly?
I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Which is, kind of has a double meaning.
It does, because, you know, most normal people would, catch up with their old friend, but we don't want to know what Hannibal is doing with this old friend.
Yes.
But you know what? Let him live his life, you know? Freedom for cannibals, right?
And what's funny is this, again, is another of those movies. I think this, we've touched on this in previous podcasts, how sometimes you find yourself kind of sympathizing.
Oh, yes.
And almost rooting for the villain. Now, in this case, you're not rooting for Hannibal Lecter, but this old friend that he's talking about at the end is somebody who I think you just...
He's awful, too.
You dislike him even more than Hannibal Lecter, even though, obviously, he's not as bad a guy. But anyway, I think it's kind of impressive in movie making and script writing how you can be... Audiences can be led to...
Sympathize with the villain.
Yes, with the villain. Yeah. And kind of understand their... why they do what they do.
But filmmaking-wise, the reason why we do sympathize so much with Hannibal Lecter... I mean, not so much, but we sympathize with him is because... The main villain in this film is actually Buffalo Bill, who is a different serial killer. So we never really... I mean, we see Hannibal do some pretty freaky stuff, but nothing compared to what Buffalo Bill is doing in this film. So I think that makes him morally superior.
And he is actually helping the FBI.
Yeah, he's helping.
Find Buffalo Bill. Not because he's a good guy, but you think that he somehow has some connection to the young FBI agent played by Jodie Foster.
Yeah, they have like a weird bond for some reason. So going back to the very first scene of Hannibal and Clarice meeting, there's a part where Hannibal, he's a psychologist, so he's very smart. They actually call him Dr. Lecter, which is kind of strange, but he's kind of psychoanalyzing or whatever Jodie Foster in the beginning, and he says something and comments on her accent and makes fun of it kind of. And Jodie Foster just looks horrified in the movie. And apparently that was improvised totally by Sir Hopkins, which is interesting.
And she did a great job, really. I mean, everybody, I think, remembers the film for Hannibal Lecter's character. Mm-hmm. But Jodie Foster really did do a really good job because she looks so nervous the whole time. Just like any normal or halfway normal person would be when they're interacting with somebody like that. She is so uptight.
Intense,
and so...
Yeah.
You know, nervous and scared, and yet she's also strong, and she's going to get through it, and I think she has a real sense of wanting to do the right thing and help save people, but she's able to pull that off, and here she is, this young, petite, soft-looking woman, and yet she pushes herself.
Femme power.
pushes herself to get into the mind of this really dangerous criminal.
Crazy person.
Who hasn't been able to be reached by any of the previous agents who have tried to interview him.
Yes, that's a very good point. That's very important in the movie because he will only talk to Jodie Foster's character, Clarice, throughout the entire film. So one of the reasons why Hannibal Lecter looks so freaky is because, do you notice how he's in all white in every scene?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well, that's because our king, Sir Anthony, actually convinced the director and producers to put him in all white because he thinks that people have this weird back of their mind fear of dentists and doctors. And you know how they're always in all white? So something about it was so procedural and just looked gross.
That's actually pretty clever.
I know, it's very clever. On to Buffalo Bill, the most terrifying serial killer ever. If this is based on a real story, I want to cry and jump out this window. Is it, Mama?
I don't know. I hope not.
I really hope not.
It's probably a compilation of a lot of different wackos.
Ugh. Hey, don't be mean to cannibals and skinned people.
Yeah, not that I want to, you know, like, categorize them or anything. But
yeah, no, this guy is really wacky. He's essentially a very gender-confused man, and he decides that by killing women around his town and skinning them. I don't even want to talk about that. But by skinning them, and he's going to sew all their skin together and make himself like a female bodysuit. It's a strange idea.
Yes, he probably didn't put quite enough thought into it. He obviously started out with an idea about how to... Apparently he was refused, I guess, surgery, gender reassignment surgery, and so he decided to make himself into a woman.
By the skin of other victims.
So it's sort of like, obviously he was going for something, but...
I mean, at least he has goals, right? We don't all have that right now.
But he probably should have put just a little bit more thought into how this would actually play out for him and also for the poor victims.
Poor girls.
You just feel so sorry for.
Yeah, the only redeeming quality about Buffalo Bill is that dog, Precious. It looks just like our little dog, Spartacus, and I love it. Precious!
Yes, and actually the little white dog of... Buffalo Bill plays a pretty important role.
Yeah, Precious ends up kind of helping out.
Yeah, he kind of saves the day in a way.
Such a cutie. But yeah, Buffalo Bill is the scariest person ever. What would you say is the most disturbing image you saw in the movie? Because honestly, it wasn't as gory as I expected, even though it is still disgusting. For me, I would say, well, spoiler again, don't listen to this if you haven't seen it, but basically Hannibal escapes his prison cell in the middle of the movie, and what he does to one of those officers and how he hangs him like an angel. It looks like the Nirvana cover In Utero, because that guy's body is just like all open, and it's the worst imagery I've ever seen in my life.
It is disgusting. Yes, that is definitely a horror movie.
Very gory.
Yeah.
But there are no really jump scares or anything. So.
No, it's funny. They don't really show people being killed.
Mm-mm.
But
the aftermath.
They talk about it and they show the aftermath, and so they leave it to your imagination. So that's why I am not a horror movie fan at all.
No, me
and
either.
I don't really like the details of, you know, hearing about the details of serial killers. I don't want to imagine that and have mm-hmm. nightmares. But this movie is the sort of thing where it kind of lets you, everybody has that side of them where they have an interest in kind of that deviant,
that gross
criminal mind.
I agree.
And so it gives you access to a couple of really deviant personalities, and yet it doesn't make you watch the gross and horrific actions.
Just for shock value or whatever.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, we really don't know anything about Hannibal Lecter's childhood or what made him this way, you know?
No.
But for some reason...
I guess that's what the sequels were for.
That's a good point. But also, somehow, Sir Anthony, though, just he constructed this character where we didn't need to know anything about him. We didn't need to know how many people he ate or whatever. We didn't need to know any of that. We just needed him there, and it was crazy. So speaking of crazy, this film, like I said before, is one of three movies to win all five big categories at the Academy Awards: Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. That is insane. The other two movies to do that were One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson, and the other one was... And what was it again, Mom?
I believe it was It Happened One Night, which was a 1930s comedy with Clark Gable. Old.
Oh, yeah, Clark Gable, our Gone with the Wind King. Okay.
Right. And that's a long time between It Happened One Night and Silence of the Lambs.
Definitely. So the other movies nominated in 1991 for Best Picture were Beauty and the Beast, Bugsy, excuse me. What is that?
That's a Warren Beatty movie.
Oh, okay.
Not much. It wasn't that great.
JFK. We don't talk about that movie with me.
Well, it's, yeah, and that's a fun movie, but ridiculous.
I don't like it. It's too long. The Prince of Tides.
Barbra Streisand.
Okay, film buff. And then The Silence of the Lambs. So honestly, it wasn't competing with much. But in the actor category, Warren Beatty, Robert De Niro, Hopkins, Nick Nolte, and Robin Williams. I know all of those people. So that is a stacked cast. And it's just kind of crazy that Jodie Foster also won Best Actress when she was competing with Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon for Thelma and Louise. Listen to our Thelma and Louise podcast. It's a great time. But yeah, just to think that both Best Actor and Best Actress, it's wild. But how did Hopkins win Best Actor?
That is, you wonder, because he was certainly excellent, but I would think he's more of a supporting actor. But maybe this is one of those situations where he was so dominant. I mean, he stole the show in a way that when you think of that film, you think of Hannibal Lecter, that character. So how can you not consider him, if not the best actor, certainly the most important actor? And I think that's why they gave him the award.
Yeah, you're right. And this is actually, okay, I just saw this. Hopkins had the second shortest performance by a Best Actor winner ever. He was only on screen for 24 minutes. How? Wow. How did that work? Like, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. So something that really interested us in this movie were the close-ups and the amount of them there were. And I think it just really helped show the stressed out nature of this entire film, because everyone in this movie is freaking out the whole time, which is understandable because there's this psycho serial killer on the loose and this girl's been kidnapped. And they're trying to get her back, and just a mess.
And yeah, and I think you're right. I think that the reason you do notice just how many close ups, and we're talking real close ups.
See all the pores.
There are in the movie, and I think that is because it makes you kind of uncomfortable. You know, whenever if you're standing in an elevator and you're too close to somebody, it kind of puts you on edge.
That's
well,
true.
I think in the movie, it almost has the same effect. You're looking this closely at somebody and it makes you uneasy. And it's a good effect. I don't really watch horror movies, and so I don't know, maybe that's an old horror movie
I don't think
trick,
it is
but it was effective. It did make you, and again, like, this is the kind of movie, if you like thrillers, you're gonna like it,
definitely.
And if you like, it's just a good, it is an entertaining, and it's, I almost feel guilty saying it's an entertaining film when it's about such a terrible
dark
thing,
subject, yeah.
But it is an entertaining film. But if you're really into horror films, then it might be a disappointment because, like we said before, it doesn't have a lot of blood and guts. But if you like psychological thrillers, it definitely keeps
your
attention.
Yeah, okay, cool. And honestly, again, I was not too scared by this movie. Was I disturbed and disgusted? Yeah. But I was not, like, going to bed shivering or shaking about Hannibal Lecter, like some people may be. But I doubt that it gets that kind of reaction. So that could be one of the reasons why it grossed $272 million at the box office. And it only cost $19 million. That is a win. And no wonder they made so many sequels and prequels.
They made at least, Hannibal, The Red Dragon. Was it the two of them, or was it even more than that?
Yeah, they made those two. Hannibal, which was a sequel, and then The Red Dragon, which was a prequel. Both very lowly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And then they decided to make Hannibal Rising with none of the original cast. But that's okay. It was also horribly rated. But that's okay.
Those were just money grabs.
Oh, definitely.
Sure. And actually, before Silence of the Lambs, there was a movie about Hannibal Lecter, I believe. And it called him Manhunter.
Yes.
And it was based on the same book or series of books that Silence of the Lambs was based on. And that's actually pretty good. That was directed by Michael Mann. And
yeah,
that was actually a pretty good movie, too.
Yeah, Manhunter. Check that out if you're a real big Silence of the Lambs stan after this podcast. So if this movie was made today, there's some aspects that would probably make it a little more controversial and possibly less popular just because of the whole how they handled the LGBTQA situation.
Yeah, in today's world, I think this is the kind of movie that might elicit some boycotts or some protesters in front of theaters because it's not very sensitive to the trans community. And the villain is somebody who they might see as kind of a perpetuation of some stereotypes, very negative and ludicrous stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, really, he's just a crazy guy. But I can see some trans people being offended by the portrayal. But, again, you have to take it for what it is, just a movie. And it's of its time. And I think you shouldn't read too much into...
Not at all.
I mean, this is just a bad guy. He could be whatever sexuality, and he's just a good guy.
I think that is a good way to end this podcast. This is a very well-made psychological thriller with some gory imagery, but not too much, so you guys will be okay. If you've not seen this classic yet, we definitely recommend it. Sir Anthony Hopkins, all our love to you, our king. Jodie Foster was amazing also. Go watch Silence of the Lambs on Netflix right now and follow us on Instagram at Strange Love of Movies Pod, and that'll be linked down below. Thank you guys for listening.
Good evening, Clarice.
Bye.